The first reading today, we hear the words, "Behold, a great priest who in his days pleased God and was found just." Today, that's what we're celebrating, a priest who did exactly that, a man who was so disgusted by the depravity of the clergy of his time that he started his own order. They are known as the Premonstratensians, usually known as the Norbertines, and also he worked for the sanctification of the clergy. So the men who joined his order were supposed to be humble, they were supposed to be chaste, they were supposed to live a holy life. That would, of course, attract others and be an example to others. And he was extraordinarily successful in what he was doing because, of course, the young people wanted to live the way that they were supposed to. Who doesn't? But of course, people being people, there are those who don't want to live a good life. And sadly, as it was in the time of St. Norbert, so it is in ours. There are a number of priests who don't want to live a good life. And so St. Norbert was made an archbishop. He took over his diocese, and he set about to reform the clergy. And it was a dismal failure, because they did not want to be reformed. They liked their sins too much. Sound familiar? So we're living in a similar time. We're living in a time where we have priests and bishops who are trying to tell us that immorality is the new norm. It's all okay. We're living in a time where priests think that it's perfectly okay to be very wealthy. You may remember a few years ago, there was a bishop that was such a scandal that he got the nickname the Bling Bishop, because he was building himself a several million dollar mansion and filling it with all kinds of wealthy things. It's like, for what? For one's own self-aggrandizement? It's not what we're supposed to be about. And so we have to be able to look at this in two ways. First of all, there are those who unfortunately have been living their life this way for quite a while, and they don't want to stop. Sadly, they enjoy what they're doing, and even more sadly, they've actually been at least tolerated, if not encouraged, in doing what they're doing. And so there is no reason for them to stop. Well, there is plenty of reason for them to stop, but on the natural level, there is no reason for them to stop. And so what God has done is to raise up young priests who are coming out of families that are Orthodox, whose mothers and fathers have taught their kids, and they are solid. When I was in the seminary, I can tell you, that was when it all started to change. And the faculty was tearing their hair out. They could not handle the fact that they couldn't get to these kids. It just wasn't working. Their moms taught them the truth. Imagine that. And they weren't buying the lies that these characters were teaching them because they had a foundation that they learned at home and they knew what the truth was. And they weren't buying the garbage. But then there is the other side of things. And that's the men who are already in the priesthood. What can we do about them? We need to pray for them. God doesn't give up on them, and we shouldn't either. There was a priest, he is since deceased, in this diocese, and let's just say he was a pretty well-known, notorious kind of priest. He took over a parish, and that parish had perpetual adoration. He didn't like that, but it was already there. What was he going to do? And he got up and he did his usual nonsense. He prayed for the courageous pro-life people, or pro-abortion people rather, pro-choice as he would call them, that they would continue their crusade for women's rights and all this kind of garbage. This was just a tiny fraction of the nonsense that was going on. And the people in the parish got together, and they made a decision that rather than leaving the parish and going to another, they were going to pray for this man. They were going to take their hours in adoration, and they were going to pray for his conversion. By the time that man left the parish, he was spending an hour a day in the adoration chapel. He was praying for the pro-life people, that they would actually make laws to protect women rather than these disgusting things that are destroying them. And he had a conversion and was able to die that way. Don't ever doubt the power of your prayer. The problem when you're praying for another person is that they have free will, and they can say no to the grace that God offers them. You are obtaining that grace for them, but that doesn't mean that they're going to cooperate. But then in our weakness, we get frustrated. I prayed for this person and it didn't work, so forget it, I'm hanging it up. Don't do that. We don't know at what point they're going to open the door. We don't know at what point they might say yes. And so we need to keep praying, because we want the salvation of their souls as well. Those of you who are old enough will remember looking at this on the level of the laity. There was a time when if you had two children, that was one too many. If you had eventually two, but they were both of the same sex, we could tolerate the idea that you would have a third. And if that wound up being the same sex, too bad for you. If you had a boy and a girl to begin with, then you can't have a third. That's just forbidden. All the garbage. We lived through this. And now look what's happening. The young people are saying, this is wrong. They're looking at it and saying, I either grew up as an only child or just with one sibling. I got ripped off. They don't want that for their kids. And they're being more generous and they're having larger families. Thanks be to God. And we need to encourage this. And there was another priest of this diocese who went to the funeral of a woman who had like a dozen kids or whatever it was. I think it was her husband who had died. And at the funeral luncheon, the priest sat down with the widow and said, I want to apologize to you on behalf of the church for forcing you to have all these kids. Now, I have talked to lots of people who are elderly, who are dying. Never once have I heard a mother say, I wish I didn't have so many kids. Not once have I heard that. Many, many times I have heard, I wish I had more. And so we can look at this and see there are priests who have the totally wrong attitude about things. They have rejected the church's teaching. Ultimately, they've rejected their own dignity as priests. But we need to pray for them. I can tell you in this diocese, any of the priests that are, well, one generation behind me and three in front of me, the education was abominable. Worst 6 years of my life was the seminary. By far. There are priests who have PTSD from their seminary days. That's how bad it was. So it's not entirely their fault. They were malformed. They were taught a bunch of garbage. And some of them didn't have the strength to be able to stand against it. They bought the lie. And of course, the devil's lies always sound better than God's truth, because the devil tells us what we want to hear. And God simply speaks the truth, and he calls us to the cross, which doesn't sound very fun. But what the devil offers, that's exciting and that's fun. God is offering us eternal life, not fun in this world. And so that's what we have to look at. Do we really want the truth? And do we want that truth for others? Then the most important thing is to be that example. Human beings are human beings. We're stubborn as can be, and we don't like to change. Tragically, as I pointed out many, many times, we really, really, really like our sins, which is why we don't stop sinning, because we like them too much. Priests are human. They do the same stupid stuff, and they like it too much. They're addicted to their sins, not unlike everybody else. So we need to pray. We need to be that example. We need to encourage the people that we see doing what's right. And maybe to learn a lesson from those heroic people at that parish that I mentioned. Don't walk away. Don't give up. Pray. That's the Christian response. Pray for the conversion of this person. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their holiness. Because the power of prayer can change everything. It can change the course of world events. It can change human hearts. Prayer can work miracles. Don't ever doubt the power of your prayer, and don't ever doubt the power of your example if you are striving to truly live a Christian life, to live the truth in charity and bring that out into the world. That is going to do more to change hearts than all of the homilies that you're ever going to hear. That's what each and every one of us is capable of doing. And that's what God is asking of us, to strive for that holiness ourselves and to bring that holiness to others.